This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back to BetQLU here on the BetQL Network. I'm John Martin here with my man, RJ Choppy. It is our first voyage without our friend Chris Mack. We will persevere, though. Do not worry. You got a big college basketball weekend here going on. Let's talk a little bit, though, RJ, about Kentucky. We started the show talking about Kentucky. Feels like a good place to, you know, kind of bookend it. Their next game is on the road at Arkansas. That's going to be around Kentucky -5 on the KenPom projection. We know it's going to be very close to that, with an over-under of 169. Not a lot of defense. Defense clearly optional in this one.
It's totally optional.
Is this a bounce-back spot for Kentucky, given how bad, even at home, Arkansas has been this year?
Man, I'll tell you, when we write the book on the 23-24 college basketball season, Arkansas at home is going to be – it needs its own chapter.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, Arkansas doesn't lose to South Carolina by double digits at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that. They don't lose to Oklahoma at home. They're getting run by some of these teams. They got run by Duke at home, man.
Doesn't South happen. Carolina.
I would like to say it's a bounce back or kind of a game that we can look at for Kentucky, because it is a tough place to play.
Yep.
But this year, I don't think it holds the same weight. I think for Kentucky, they've got a couple of games left on their schedule that are big time basketball games. And those are the ones they need to point to. You know, they got to go on the road to Tennessee to end the year. They've got a game at Tennessee at home. They got to go to Auburn. They still got to play Bama. Mississippi State on the road is not going to be a cakewalk. There are other games that are out there. They play the Zags too, I think, coming up. So they got a random like February non-conference game against Gonzaga.
Yep.
So they've got games out there that I think will tell us more.
Yeah, look, I think in the case of Arkansas, and we know that Muss has had, you know, a lot of success. You know, he's been to, you know, Sweet 16s. He's been in the second weekend. I think in the case of Arkansas, it's probably a cautionary tale. Memphis a little bit too. You know, those seem like two pretty high profile instances where, when you know, yes, use a transfer portal, right? Like everybody does. If you don't, you're going to be left behind. But you got to vet and make sure that it all fits together, you know, because I know Memphis brought in 9 new guys and it looks like sometimes that it works. Arkansas brought in a bunch of new guys as well, and it just isn't coming together. Like, you know, they only really brought one guy in that I would say is like a winning player. And that's Tremont Mark, but, you know, Khalif Battle, L. Ellis, Jeremiah Davenport, you know, Keon Minifield, Chandler Lawson, you're bringing in a bunch of guys who, you know, does it fit? Does it all come together? And it's like, again, all these guys in a vacuum, individually, you take them, they're talented. But I think it's one of those things where you can have a talented transfer portal group, but you got to make sure that it's cohesive. And I think that right now, RJ, is why, you know, you always used to be able to count on Arkansas being unbelievable at home. You can not go into Bud Walton and expect to leave with a win. If it's not cohesive and it doesn't come together, this is what it can look like.
Yep, absolutely. And you're not going to hit on every portal guy, even if the guys are good players. You know, you're not going to hit on them. You know, I'll just use my school, Tennessee, as an example. I mean, they hit on Kinect. They didn't hit on Jordan Gainey. And yep. He was supposed to be the sharpshooter, and he can't really shoot. And I think that's the problem with the portal in the situation with Arkansas. You know, Bud Walton was a nightmare place to go to. And I wonder, when you start getting into mercenary territory, if the same thing applies, where you don't have guys who are buying into the school. They're just buying into the NIL. And I think that's part of the issue. It may not be the only issue, but also, look, I mean, you got to hit on these guys, and they got to be able to play together. This isn't fantasy football here. You can't just throw five guys on the floor and make them all work together. I mean, you've got to have guys that can actually work together. That's where the coach comes into play.
Well, here's the thing. It's different than a recruiting class that's a freshman, for example, because I think there's a real camaraderie when you come in to a place together and you're building and you're the same, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, we're coming in at the same time. We have 3-4 years to do this thing. You know, let's build. It's not the same because one guy might be on his last year. One guy might want to get to the NBA next year. Like, you have different timelines, different expectations,
yep.
And you don't really necessarily know how that's going to look until it all comes, you know, and gets on campus. But it's a cautionary tale, man, that, you know, just because you have five talented players that you're getting from the transfer portal, bro, assume nothing because,
right.
You know, it could be ugly.
Prior to the influx of one and dones, remember there was a rule where they had like, you could only get like 5 scholarships over 3 years or something like that. And you know, you can only sign like 5 guys over a couple year stretch. Let's go back to the 90s. And you would see these teams, the Fab Five. Carolina one year, they had like Wallace and Stackhouse come in at the same time. And they were tremendous for that 2 year stretch that they were there. But like, it was okay, here they come. They're coming in, man. And then it's Carter and Jameson. Here they go. They're coming in. And you don't have that necessarily anymore. Now you've got to admit, you got a 5th year senior, and this guy's a sophomore. Oh, and look, here comes the COVID 7th year player. And they're just coming from all over the place. And they're hitting you, and they don't always work together.
Nope, it's something to monitor. Now, the COVID years are going to go away, but the transfer portal we know is not. So this is going to be a theme in college sports forever now, no question about it.
Is this the last COVID year? Or we got one more?
I think so. I have to believe so, because COVID was 4 years ago. So, I mean, I would think there might be like, you know, a sophomore or, you know, there might be like one more year after this, but it's coming to an end very soon. All right, here's what we're going to start doing this at the end of every show now, as we're getting into, you know, closer and closer into March. We're going to start handing out some futures, all futures courtesy of BetMGM, of course, and we're going to track these things. I'll get it going, RJ, and I will give out, and I think there's actually still really good value on this, FAU, even money to win the AAC. They have kind of played around a little bit, and they are currently, I believe, second in the AAC behind Charlotte. That's not sustainable, okay? FAU is about to start fattening up on all these teams. They're bringing back everybody. We know that. I just think they're too good. They've beaten Arizona. They've beaten Texas A&M. You know, they played a tough schedule. The AAC is no match for them. And so I think they're going to start stacking up some wins. And at even money, I believe they're a really good bet to win the whole entire league. So I'll go with FAU plus even money at plus 100 to win the AAC.
All right. I'm going to do another regular season future. I'll do Kentucky 7-1 to win the SEC, to win their conference. Right now, they are 4-2. Auburn leads at 5-0. They still play Auburn. They still play Tennessee twice. They can knock those guys off. Auburn is going to have at least one more loss in conference, probably two. They're still going to have to play Tennessee, Bam, and all that stuff. So I'm going to take Kentucky at 7-1. I think that's as good of a number as you're going to find on a quality team.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, no, I like it. I do. I will say this. I know we've talked about it before. I do love Auburn. I love Auburn's team. I love the way they're composed. I don't know if they're going to win the SEC or not, but you know, when you start talking about, you know, deep into the NCAA tournament, that's a team, right? Because I think this is a good time if you're like betting on this stuff. I think now is really a good time to compile some data, watch some teams, say, okay. You know, maybe Kentucky did lose to South Carolina, and maybe that's going to sour some people. I don't know, but I'm just using them as an example. I might want to get involved with it. BYU, I know they lost to Houston last night at home, but BYU might be a good long shot. You know, now is the time, you know, and for me, Auburn's complete, you know. I mean, I love everything they're about.
I'm scared of their schedule.
In terms of a deep run.
Their schedule has scared me to this point. I mean – They're right. Like outside the top 150 and straight the schedule. They to have their record and still be a four seed on some of the projections on these bracketologies. They're still a four seed, and to have their record, it's pretty low. It tells me that you're not, you know, playing the best. You haven't had the best competition. They don't have a quad one win at all this year. They're 0-2. So their resume scares me, but I think they're a good team. You know, I would not surprise if they made a little bit of a run.
I think they will. I mean, Bruce Pearl's already made a Final Four, you know, at Auburn. So, you know, he's been there, he's done it. I will say this. I'm just looking at the national championship futures here. It's relatively shocking to me, and what a testament it is to the pedigree of Tom Izzo. But Michigan State, despite the fact that they are unranked and despite the fact that they have lost so many times already this year, they are still 40-1. To win it all. That's better, for example, than FAU, who is ranked. It's better than Oklahoma. It's better than Villanova. It's better than a lot of teams. And I don't know what Michigan State, I mean, obviously they still have work to do, but, you know, that was, RJ, a top five team when the season started. And I know it got off to a hellacious start, losing to James Madison, but, you know, I almost wonder, you know, how much of that was just a dreadful start and they're going to correct it? Like, this is still a preseason top five team. Am I crazy not to take 40-1 right now?
Oh, no. If you can get yourself a team that was that is highly thought of, you absolutely take it. Because, I mean, they've got some work to do, but their net rating's pretty good, man. I mean, they're top 20 or top 25. They're going to wind up sneaking in if it's between them and Mississippi State, if it's between them and Cincinnati, you know, if it's between them and exactly. Colorado, they're probably going to get the benefit of the doubt. So I think they're going to sneak in.
That's right.
So if you get them in there, and what happens? If they're in that play-in game, if they're in Dayton, somebody from Dayton always makes a run. It almost always happens. I think it's not a bad bet. Right.
Yep, it's something definitely to monitor. Michigan State is still hanging around at 40-1. That kind of says it all, despite the fact that they are still on the outside looking in and unranked. There's a lot of respect for Tom Izzo and those Michigan State Spartans. All right, that's going to do it for us on this edition of BetQLU. Appreciate you guys hanging with us and making a small part of your day. We'll be back next week talking all things college basketball as the season progresses. For RJ Choppy, I'm John Martin. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll catch you next week.